Friends, it is so good to be back. I've been here since Holy Week, or back in the UK since Holy Week. And for those of you to whom I'm an unfamiliar face, well, get to know me today. I look forward to talking to you after during the coffee hour. But on my sabbatical, I've experienced so many things, a renewing of my own spirit, and the deep pleasure of being with family. You are my family in Christ. And it is so heartening to know that though God calls us to new places, God calls us to new ways of being and new communities. And sometimes God reshapes the communities we've been part of for a long time. All of these things have been reflections I've had on my sabbatical break. And so it feels like a special privilege, even though Laurence invited me months ago and said, you know, I've come to preach when I'm in Hollis. You owe me. But this is an absolute pleasure and privilege. It's felt like coming home. You've all been so welcoming, and I know that even if I were a total stranger, you'd be equally welcoming. Because, of course, we all share a story. We know that we are part of one another's story. Even if we don't have any shared memories, per se, we have the memory of our shared story in faith, the biblical story that frames and guides our understanding of life and our journey through this world. Last week, Mark set us up perfectly for the reflection we're going to be doing today when he asked us to share our favorite cliffhanger stories. Who doesn't love the anticipation of a story that we know is going to end somehow, and we trust that it's going to end on a hopeful note? In Christ, we know ours ends on a hopeful note. That's all we ever have is hope. But we just don't know how it's going to unfold. We know it's going to involve a surprise somehow, though, don't we? We talked last week a little bit about the cliffhanger moment that the Revised Common Lectionary presented to us, and in the week that we always hear about, the week before Whit Sunday or Pentecost is Ascension Sunday. So we heard about that story. Remember when that cliffhanger moment when Jesus was telling his disciples, or it was the fulfillment of the moment he'd been warning them about, I'm going to be departing from your physical presence, but you will still have me with you. And they were confused. They didn't know what that was all about. And so, but it's always been that way, hasn't it? The people of God and the followers of Jesus Christ have always wondered what's next and how are we meant to respond to this moment. And in that moment, the disciples weren't sure how they'd continue after Jesus, their teacher, their guide, disappeared from their physical presence. Can any of us fully imagine life without someone we love before they're actually gone? Well, the followers of the Jesus way have had to pick up the story ever since. We keep wondering how the story will continue. And that can make us anxious, but Jesus was really good about reminding us, and all of his followers, to return to the old, old story, wasn't he? We know our story. We know the guiding author, the story giver. We know the key themes. We know the plot line of our story, even if we don't know exactly how the next chapter is going to unfold. Isn't that right? There are 66 books by a variety of different writers in a variety of different styles in the library or canon of our biblical narrative, plus some apocryphal bits and pieces if we're in the Reformed tradition. And most of us know the blockbuster moments, don't we? We know the story of this morning. Today is Pentecost, or as many of you Brits say, Whit Sunday. It wasn't until I moved to Great Britain that I learned about Whit Sunday. I thought, what is Whit Sunday? So where did that come from? Where did Whit Sunday come from? We're going to help each other remember pieces of our story, our identity, these celebrations that we have. Does anybody know The origin of Whit Sunday?
It's based on White Sunday.
Based on White Sunday. And why White Sunday?
Because that's the altar coverings, isn't it?
Partly the altar coverings, yes, that became a part of the celebration. It was also the people dressed in white for baptism, for the catechumens, were those who were going to become full members of the church. That was one of the ways. There was also a tradition that 14th or 15th century Shropshire canon introduced the idea that Whit Sunday was from the Wit or Wisdom Sunday. This is the Sunday when the wit and wisdom of the Holy Spirit came. So now you remember, and you'll be able to answer anybody who's out there in the street saying, well, why do we still have, what is this Wit Week? Wit Monday. It's still a bank holiday, isn't it? But we forget. So it's important for us to remember this. But let's also remember Pentecost, which is a more universally known, and it actually ties back even further in history to our Jewish, the Jewish roots of our faith story. What is Pentecost from?
Penta 5.
Penta 5.
50.
50. Yes? 50 days after Easter. And that comes from the Jewish celebration of the 50 days after Passover, the Pentecost celebration, the Feast of Weeks, 50 days in the rabbinic tradition. Okay, so we've had this little review of Whit Sunday and Pentecost. Our Christian story is one of the ways that the Jewish story has carried forward, because of course Jesus and his followers were all Jewish. And the disciples were who were anxious about how their community would survive after his physical presence left them, thought it was the end of them, it was the end of this new understanding of the fulfillment of their the Jewish promise of the Messiah. Well, followers of Jesus and the Jesus way have had to pick up that story ever since that cliffhanger, and we keep wondering how our story is going to continue, don't we? But we know, don't we? It's just going to be a surprise. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We know our story. We know the refrains of our story. And so that's what I'm going to pick up my handheld microphone and invite you now to help remember, to piece together from your memory what happened on that first Pentecost. Okay, there was one gasp, but I know you all know the story. So what happened first? When Luke tells the story, they were all together in one place, like we are this morning. They were all together in one place. And then what happened? Sorry? Yes, the sound of a roaring wind came. Yep. And then what happened? That was a different story, but it's, yep. Flames as of tongues of fire. Yes, dancing over people's heads. The locked room was a different story, but they're all gathered in one place. Mighty wind, flames as a fire. They spoke in lots of languages, every language under the sun. And what were they talking about? They were just, yes, the glory of God. They were prophesying in all these different tongues. Now we've heard in our first scripture lesson this morning about the role of prophecy, haven't we? That's part of God's story, always. There are always people telling the holy story, prophesying, talking about how God is at work in the world and what they see is happening or going to happen, right? That's been since the beginning of our faith story. So there they were, prophesying in different tongues. And I think the people who, you know, these apostles, the followers of Jesus who were speaking in foreign tongues were as surprised as anybody to discover they had, but that was a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? And that's what Luke, in his interpretation, as he's writing down the story so that people further on down the road, so that you and I can receive the story, can remember it. This is what God does. This is how God behaves. This is what the Spirit does when she's moving with abandon in the world. People start doing things they didn't think they could do. So there they were, speaking in foreign languages, inspiring, helping others to understand what God was doing in the world, speaking in new ways, and inspiring the people. So that's the story of the birthday of the church. And they began to understand how Jesus, when he said, I'm going to be with you, my Spirit is going to abide with you, don't be afraid. You all are going to do more extraordinary things than you've seen me do, because you're going to be the embodiment of my Spirit. We are the resurrected body of Christ in the world. Here we are, more than 2,000 years later, and Jesus is still active in this world. And this congregation, I'm going to pull this forward now. All right, some of you got together a couple, two, 3 weeks, weekends ago for an away day. And you shared some of the pieces of your story together, right? You were reflecting on how God, you were prophesying with each other, inviting each other to prophesy, maybe talking a little bit about some of your anxieties and your worries, but that's okay. That all happens in prophecy and people share the truth. And for those of you who weren't there, I feel really privileged to help you sort of, because I wasn't there, but I've loved looking over what was written and what happened and the continuation of God's work with this amazing community. So this beautiful piece of artwork was the tree was produced by Pauline Shelley. Where are you? There you are. Yes, of course it was produced by Pauline, our wonderful felt artisan, who does. We've got so many wonderful artists in this congregation. I now serve a congregation with a lot of engineers. God has a real sense of humor. Because I am not science and maths oriented, but they are. Anyway, so I love this tactile thing, and I love the fact that you've got this visual representation to work with for your weeks and months ahead as you continue to discern what God is doing with you now and what God is inviting you to do going forward. So by way of interpretation, those of you who were at the Way Day will remember that the roots represent the things that nourish and sustain, that ground and stabilize you. Then the trunk, the words that are on here, represent your core values. The branches are the pieces that give you a sense of identity, things that help you to understand your purpose and give you a sense of self-worth. The leaves, these green pieces, I think it's just the green ones, are descriptions of what flourishing looks like for you. And then the blossoms or the fruit, these things that look like lemony limes, I think, are what brings you joy and what do you bring to the world? So if you weren't there for the away day, perhaps you can answer personally, because this is part of a communal description. I think it's a part of a description of what your community as one body, as a collective people. But then individually, we should be able to answer these questions for ourselves, right? So what are the things that nourish and sustain, that ground and stabilize you? Does anybody remember what you've written down here? Or some of you can maybe spot them and share. What are the things that nourish and sustain or ground and stabilize you? Family. Yes, shared faith, I see. Belonging. Yep. Belonging to community, worship, acceptance and tolerance,
belonging.
What else am I seeing here? Bible.
Yeah. I think love came up a few
times. Love. Yes. Okay. And core values. Seems to me love would be a core value. Belonging is another core. So some of these are going to overlap, aren't they? They're all feeding from the same. They're all participating in the same structure, the same tree, life-giving. What are some of your other core values?
Hope.
I see honesty.
Humanity.
Humanity. Humility. Humility.
Inclusivity.
Inclusivity, yes.
Human solidarity.
Human solidarity. See care and love for others. Ministry team. I like to see ministry team on there as a core value. All right. Branches, that which gives you a sense of identity, purpose, self-worth. Maybe that was a branch, I don't know, but it's a good core value and a good sense of identity. Anybody? What are some of the things that give you a sense of identity?
Community.
Yes, well, our community helps us to understand who we are, right? And we all individually, this is what Paul was saying, partly, there are so many different gifts, but we're all part of the same community of the Spirit, right? I have this congregation, most congregations will say, well, we're a warm and welcoming community, but it's that this community, I've served a lot of different churches, as those of you who know me know, and every church is outreach, but this community, you are small but mighty in your witness of welcoming others and truly manifesting the acceptance of all people and stretching yourselves. I mean, it's hard sometimes when you've got people who really get on your nerves, but you people, I know, you dealt with me for a while, so, but truly, I know you, and you are a congregation of people who work to become more accepting, and that's not always the case. So that's not to say, that's not to cast judgment on other churches, it's just to acknowledge that I know this community, part of your core understanding is we're going to push ourselves, we are going to help each other deepen in our faith life. And that's because of people who've come before you. That's because of people that have shaped this community over decades and generations. That's because you've had leaders like Colin and Mark and Richard who were here, who've been here for a very long time, but have helped to shape this place and who indeed were shaped before. Charles Brock was here last Sunday, and who he was a leader of this community. So these are the ways we're shaped, and we have not just the pastoral leaders. I'm looking at Robert Harding and Catherine Harding, and I'm looking at Phyllis and you know, all of you. I shouldn't be naming names because then I have to name all of you. But all of you have contributed. You are all part of this tree. All right. So descriptions of what flourishing looks like. You know, you've seen it over the years, and maybe that's part of what is making some of you nervous about what does the future hold for us. I was talking with a member of another former congregation of mine who was describing the anxiety in their congregation, and she said, what will become of us? They're worried about what the future of the church is for them. They've truly, and it was really that melodramatic, what will we know. We may not know what it's going to look like exactly. We don't know who's going to be in this place, but we know what will become of us in an ultimate sense, don't we? We are followers of the risen Christ. We are people on the way. All right, and so think about what brings you joy, and what do you bring to the world? I know insofar as there's concern about how this congregation is going to, we need elders. You need elders. You need people to help you lead. I want you to keep in mind the story that we heard first about Moses and the tendency that human beings and people of faith have always had from the very beginning to say, we don't do it that way. You know, the people were prophesying in the camp and they were saying, well, no, you're not supposed to do that because Moses is our leader. And he said it was okay for the people to prophesy as they were all together. But, you know, me, Dad, and the other guy's name, but they shouldn't be doing that in the camp, should they? And Moses says, you think I'm jealous? Like, no, we all need to, if you've got gifts, share them. And Paul said the same thing. We all have a variety of gifts. There are a variety of gifts, but the same giver, and God's work is going to get done. If you will but open yourself, pay attention to where you see God at work in others, and what is God inspiring you to do? What is God, you know, sort of nudging you to say, give it a try? I'm doing a dance this morning, which is something I've never, ever done in church before. But I felt the Spirit's inviting me to find the joy there is in doing something new. We can all do these things. Beloved friends and siblings in Christ, you may be anxious, and if you are, then you're not alone. I know so many people in so many churches who are anxious at the moment. The world has changed dramatically, and it keeps on changing. But not only are you not alone, you are not alone. You never have been, and you won't be. Jesus Christ, who has called you together, who has called us to journey together, who has knitted us together, who continues to weave all of our stories together. Maybe in ways you weren't used to 50 years, 30 years, 15 years ago. That same Jesus Christ, that same Spirit is at work. He's here. And that Spirit, she is not getting tired. She's still moving. God is simply doing new things. So don't despair. Just keep paying attention. Keep sharing the story. Keep talking to each other, reminding each other of your shared story. Keep trying new things. Keep telling your story. Amen.